Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yeah, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, hope you ain't fragile. Through the next connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down the shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey.
Well, peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. And I'm being joined tonight with the incomparable Mark Said It from Houston, Texas. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Bree, baby? What is going on?
Yeah.
All the way. What'd he say? He said, Brooklyn in the building, Crown Heights. Yeah.
Yes,
all the way
yes,
down
yes.
to the southern states. That's what he said.
That's right.
All the way down to the southern states. So are you fragging
Fragonacos. That's right.
Are you Fragonacos?
That don't have to act right. Well,
yes,
as you can guess, this is the Freak Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and we be freestyling tonight.
This is Freestyle Tuesday.
Freestyle Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Freestyle Thursday. So,
unlike Freestyle
Mark,
Friday.
Right. Well, Mark Said It had a few items in the news that he wanted to discuss. So I'm going to turn it over to Mark. And
yes,
what do you want to freestyle about tonight?
Man, first
What's
of all, hey, first of all, I'm just glad for all of the people out there that are listening, tuning in to the Bree Life Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio first. Now, man, there's so much stuff going on the TV, radio, in the scene. It's been kind of like I've been on my Arsenio Hall moment, you know, things that make you think, So, without further ado, I'm going to start with this one. Down in Houston, Texas, everybody knows around the country Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, Lakewood Church, here down here in Houston, but is supposedly I heard the largest church in the country. And something interesting happened here over the last day or so. They were robbed of $600,000. And I think it was like $400,000 was cash, and $200,000 was checks.
Ah.
So, yeah. Interesting. So, you know, I have some things going on in my head, but I just kind of want to, what you think about that, Bree?
Well, although I know it's church, I would have imagined that, you know, it would be a more secure environment. I can't imagine that it used to be the old that used to be a basketball stadium, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's enormous
summit.
In there.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that they would have such square footage in there and not enough people to man the space. I mean, what's going on? That sounds like that's inside.
Oh,
work at it.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
you know,
being, you know.
Yeah, like we ready for Denzel Washington and Jodie Foster to jump out. You know, the
right.
Inside Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm sitting up here looking at this, and they interview this woman on the street. We're outside the area, and they asked her, and she just said, you know, this is crazy. You know, we love Joel. We think it's crazy that somebody would do this at this church. But then she said this, which is really why I'm talking about this. She said, I think it's evil that somebody would do that. And here's my question. I've heard people interviewed after bank robberies and grocery store robberies and all kinds of robberies, but I've never heard them call the people evil. So, is it evil, or why is it evil to rob a church as opposed to evil to rob a bank? I just wondered. What do you think about that?
Well, we're going to ask our callers. We want to open up the call line to respond to that question. And if you're listening on your iPad, your laptop, or desktop, you can call in at 347-826-7119. That number again is 347-826-7119. But in the meanwhile,
okay,
I don't know that it could be quantified. I don't think the two are equal in action.
Okay, so let's just break it down to what it is. Money, because I always think about robbery as a crime of opportunity. You see what I'm saying? So you find a way to get there. If you have an opportunity to do it, you do it. I mean, unless it's some kind of strong-arm, violent type of crime. If it's not a violent type of robbery, I mean, like, you know, somebody's coming in with guns blazing and stuff, then 9 times out of 10, you know, it happens. You hear about it at various employers have been robbed, or people have embezzled, and all kinds of different things. It's not unusual for businesses to get hit up by one of either a member, associate, or someone that had access, as you said. So it's not that unusual, but I want to know why it's evil, though. Why is it evil? Do you think that's evil? I mean, you know, like some Friday the 13th or some Hannibal Lecter. I mean, evil? I mean, what is that?
Okay. What else you got?
Well, anyway, this is what else I got. That's the one thing. All right. I wish I could do my tattoo impression. I'm not cool. I'm gonna try. Y'all,
oh, no.
Bear with me. If y'all think it's crazy, I'm going to do my tattoo. The plane!
Yeah,
where is that damn plane? Malaysia Flight 370. Now, I was thinking about this because one of my friends on his page said it's kind of interesting that on the third month and the seventh day, this plane, which is 370, came up missing. And now they're talking about it took a flight plan or flight direction that was hundreds of miles off of its original plan. How the hell do you lose a plane? Or is it really lost? Is it aliens? Or did the Chinese have something to do with this? Because it ain't like it's not far from China.
Well, I'm gonna vote stuff out and say it's not. It's not alien. It's very hard to lose it's very hard to lose a. No, come on.
How do you know it's not an alien? Wait a minute. Why are you so sure? Because you don't know where it's at. It ain't. We can't find it in the water. They didn't see. There's no sign or radar that it went down. It just came up missing. Is it the rapture? Is it what? You know, the Christian people talk about the rapture. People just come up missing.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If the rapture is taking place now, there are a lot of people that are damned to hell.
Still here.
Still alive. There's still a lot of people here. Including me. Oh, my gosh.
We are here, baby.
No.
Can't be that, all right?
No, it can't be that because I'm still here. I'm still on the air. Okay?
It can't be that. Okay. All right, well, we're safe then. That's why I wanted to hear you say that. That made me feel better because I was wondering. Because that was one of the speculative things that I have been hearing about that. That's interesting. Okay, here's another one for you. So we're throwing this out here, folks, because we just know it's going to be some people that want to call in. We're going to chop it up. But these are things that Mark said it has been thinking about. Here's another thing. Recently, Colorado, Washington State have legalized marijuana. California has legalized it, and some other states have legalized it for medicinal purposes. The governor of Texas is here talking about, you know, it should be legalized. And here's the question. And a brother I saw on my Facebook page, he posted another thing that makes you say, He said, all right, pastors, church members, other church people in high places, from time to time, have a drink. Is it okay for your pastor to occasionally light up? I mean, if it's legal. Because remember, alcohol wasn't always legal. And
well, I don't know that it was always legal, but it was always here.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let me say this. Alcohol was not always legal, number one. Number two, you have to go through a whole process to even distill it to get it to be usable, where weed, for the most part, all you got to do is grow it and dry it. Unless you want to do some other crazy stuff to it, it's actually way more natural. It's not a process to create a level of potency like alcohol. You have to distill it and create it and turn it into a potent thing for you to sip on. And we had prohibition, and you could not drink it. It was illegal to drink it. Okay? And weed, contrary to popular belief, wasn't always illegal because they didn't even know what it was. It was just a leaf. So it wasn't always illegal because it wasn't classified. Cannabis wasn't even classified as a drug. So, my question back to what the guy said, he said on the page, he said, so if Pastor John occasionally had a glass of wine and Sister Janet in the pews occasionally had a beer, is it okay if she had occasionally have a doobie? This is legal.
Ooh, I wish two of my friends that I know smoke was listening right now. I think I'm gonna have to text one of them and tell them, please come
on. I just want to know if Pastor was trying to, you know, he want to, I mean, because it's legal. I mean, there are other preachers. I know some preachers that smoke cigarettes, I mean, for that matter. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know a lot of people already, church folks, will say, no. And then they might even start quoting scriptures about defiling the body. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if that weed or that drink is defiled as much as that damn ham hock and that chitlins and and that big old frosted double pineapple cake that should be eaten is defiling that body.
The sugar.
She got the sugar. See, I don't know a whole lot of people that's dying of the weed, but the black people's, the brown people's got a, you know, we growing constantly because of the sugar and constantly because of cholesterol. I don't know about the weed smoke. Smoke weed every day. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's just something that came to my mind. Okay. The phone lines lighting up, I know, but I got something else I want to throw out here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. All right, so one of my fellow online radio comrades, Drew Pillow, had a topic on the show the other day. And it went something like this. I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, you can touch each other, but not each other's phones. The topic was based upon this. if you are in a relationship, meaning, you know, married, significant other, whatever, you know, some serious stuff. You're in some seriousness with somebody. Should they it be in your phone looking at it? I mean, after all, y'all serious? This ain't Johnny come lately walking down the street. This your boo. This your boo.
Okay,
you
now what level of boo are we talking about? Are we talking about boo with papers that I live with? Or are we talking about boo just, you know, come see me, not come stay?
Well, you tell me what level does it have to be for it to be, I mean, I don't know.
If you're my husband and I'm your wife, you should be able to touch me and my phone. You should be able to do it at the same time if you wanted to.
Ooh, y'all, that's how y'all do it? Touch me in the morning.
Oh, have mercy. So, I just don't, it shouldn't be a big thing. Now, if
shouldn't
we're,
be a big thing.
See, me, myself right now, if I was involved with someone, I don't have a problem with anybody touching my phone, because guess why? I live in transparency. I don't have anything to hide, because if there's somebody I'm talking to other than you, I'm going to let you know. If I'm someone that I'm involved with, then it's not going to be a conversation, because we're not going to be together. Because I only do things one at a time anyway. I only engage one relationship at a time. So, you know, I'm not concerned about, you know, what's in my phone or the type of access the person could have by using my phone.
So do you delete all your exes out of your phone? Are your exes out of your phone?
Actually, all but one. I have four exes.
I ain't talking about baby daddy.
Are in my phone. No, I don't have a baby daddy, okay? Let's get it right.
You have no baby daddy. Oh.
I have four exes. Three of them are in my phone.
What are they doing in your phone?
Oh, one I was married to, so he's in my phone by default because our son is still underage. My first love and ex-fiance, he and I are very good friends, and he was a colleague, so I still talk to him maybe once or twice a year.
Okay, stop right there. Before you go any further, let me stop you there. Since this is freestyle, things are just flying around in my head, so I'm going to stop you right there. So let's say you got booed up. You're on a serious boo level with somebody.
Okay.
Should you talk to this guy?
Should I talk to what guy?
The ex wants to be once, you know, Christmas
or
whatever y'all do.
We've had this show before, and I'm just going to make this extremely clear because, good, I'm glad this is being recorded because there's a good chance that I could be booed up in the near future that they could just go to the videotape. But here's the thing. I'm not giving up my friends for anybody. I'm not doing that. He's going to be my ultimate. My boo is going to be my ultimate friend. And if he's doing it right, I don't have time to be on the phone or going out and breaking bread with people like I have the freedom to do right now. Okay?
Okay.
So, all right,
well.
But I will not. I mean, out of respect, the dynamic, of course, is going to change. And here's what a lot of people don't understand. The people that you are when you enter in the relationship are not the same people that you become once you're immersed and drenched in a relationship, because the dynamic is changing all the time and you have to adapt to the dynamic. So, yes, I'm going to be respectful of his feelings, but any man is going to be my man. He has to be stronger than me. He's got to be more thick-skinned than I am. I'm a person that's in the – wait, hold on. I'm a person that's in the public view. I have media relations. I talk to people on the street for the show. I do a lot of research. I interact with a lot of people. Plus, I've grown up with a lot of people that I'm still friends with. I live in the neighborhood that I grew up in. So that person is going to have to embrace that I had a life before they came into it. And although I'm willing to make certain adjustments, I'm not willing to change.
Well, an adjustment is a change. So you are willing to change.
No,
how much are you willing to change?
I'm willing to adjust, to make certain adjustments so that my partner or my boo will be comfortable, but I'm not I'm not willing to change Sabrina Hassan. I'm not willing to give up my friends that I've had for 40 plus years. I'm not willing to be able to pick up a phone, whether I'm calling someone or someone's calling me.
Somebody you slept with.
Okay. So what? I can't have a conversation with them, a generic one. We ain't trying to meet up downtown Brooklyn at the Marriott or the Sheraton on the rooftop. We talking on the phone. Hey, what's been going on? I talk to him once or twice a year, maybe.
Well, again, this wasn't a subject, so I don't know.
That's freestyle. Damn it.
I just want my listening public to know I have nothing to do with this. This is Bree's freestyle. That wasn't my freestyle. My freestyle, I want to know more about these phones and if we could be, should we be on each other's phones? But that's a whole other freestyle.
That's my freestyle. That is my
right. You just freed it up. Wow. Well, we're gonna keep your freestyle because I'm feeling it because it's still in the same sphere as this conversation that we're having. And
So what do you think about the phone situation? You haven't answered that question.
Well, no, I'm just putting it out there. My thing is this. I go to sleep, and I say this, I'm in a bed with my baby, and I'm asleep. I don't know what the hell she's doing. She could be acupuncturing my ass or anything. I don't know what she's doing. So if I got enough faith to lay my behind next to you and go to sleep next to you, which to me, going to sleep next to somebody is the ultimate in trust. That's the ultimate trust, because at the end of the day, you don't know what people be on. You don't know. It's one thing if you come into your house, you lock up all these doors, put 500 chains on and your alarm, and you shut your door and you get in your bed. You reasonably feel that somebody come kicking doors in, you're pretty much safe.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're in a brand new relationship where y'all find, when I say brand new, I'm talking about where you're starting living with each other or sleeping over with each other. Or even if you went away on a vacation at a hotel, you still go to sleep next to this person. Unless y'all don't be like, we will go to sleep at the same time, open our eyes at the same time. It's not likely. So that means you're trusting someone. And you cannot tell me it has not happened where somebody was asleep and that's when their phone got looked at. So, I don't know if somebody has ever gone. I ain't did it to nobody. I haven't done it to anybody.
It's been done to me.
But here's the thing. I don't even know if it's been done to me, per se. I don't know that. But I know that
you know that it would be done to you if there was something questionable that the person didn't like, and they wake your ass up out of the deep sleep with some bread.
Wait a minute. What the hell is this? What are you talking about? No. What the hell is this? No, you need to talk about this right now. What is this? I'm like, what the hell is you talking about?
I've done it to someone.
Oh, see, you already know.
Yeah.
I don't know. My thing about trust is this, you know. You trust the person. I don't know why. See, my thing is, I know why I'm on my phone. So I can't understand why I'm on yours. Unless my phone is working, I need to use it for a phone call.
But here's how I did it. Wait. I need to clear something up. No, it wasn't shady. It was during one of our shows.
It was
during one of our shows. I was broadcasting the show from the person who I was seeing his house. Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I remember that, right?
My cell phone did not work. My service did not work well in his apartment.
Yes,
so he gave me his BlackBerry to use.
Yeah.
And while I'm on his BlackBerry, all this weird stuff is popping up, all these things, you know, and I didn't even know there was a site called masterpersonal.com. I'm like, what the heck is that? What's Master Personal? Well, I found out after the show was off there because, of course, I went on my laptop, and I was like, what is a Master Personal? And when I brought it up, I said, you know what? Time to go, because this is some Silence of the Lambs crap going on here. I got to get out of here. Yes. So you see?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. My point back to me is, why? Okay, so that's one thing. And I'm talking about, and I think the point of this conversation and the point of Drew's show was not just using the phone. You know, just, I'm sitting there, oh, there's a phone. Let me show you what's going on here. Who's texting today? Who is this? Oh, Facebook is open. Let's look at what's in on the Facebook account. I see the inbox. Look at the inbox. Who you been inboxing? Who you been side chatting?
Well, here's the thing. If you don't have anything to worry about, then there's no cause for concern. But, of course, if you're not operating in the manner in which you should when you are in a relationship with somebody, then, therefore, there is something to be concerned about.
But, again, I don't even know if that's – well, okay, so on one side, let's put it like this. On the one side, we have the issue of concern. But the other side of it is there any such thing as this is mine?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so then not even about I'm hiding, why do you find the need to be in my phone? What's the point?
I'm not saying that, because we're really talking about a snooping. Okay, let's call it what it is. Okay? I'm not saying that it is right. But here's the thing. One, the person that snoops, they need to prepare themselves mentally and emotionally for what they may be about to see. Because they might be about to see, because there's a good chance when you snoop, when you go looking for stuff, you're going to find it. You know, it may not come in the format or the shape or whatever that you was hoping for or hoping not to encounter, but it's there. It's going to be present. And you got to be prepared to deal with it accordingly, you know. Trust is
a minute.
And no, let me just finish this point if I could. if you don't trust your partner, the bottom line is you shouldn't be with them. Because if there's something in you that's causing, you know, unrest to make you want to snoop and go through a person's thing, then you really don't need to be with them. That's it. Now, I'm sorry. You can continue.
Well, I just was wondering, I mean, again, so you saying no, they're looking in the phone because they're trying to find something.
It depends on what your intention is for picking up the phone. Now, like I said, when I was uptown airing the show, I couldn't get a signal on my phone, a stable one, in order to air the show. Therefore, I had to use.
Yeah, that's a phone call, though.
Here's what happened during and after the show. Once I saw all this master personal stuff kept coming up, then that, I was like, what kind of activity is he participating in? So I did open up the emails, and I saw all of this stuff, and I saw the responses that he was getting from people and the picture exchange that was going on. I was like, oh, no, it's time to – this is not for me. This is not right.
And that's one thing. I think the principal question here, though, it still is that let's say it ain't nothing on there like that. My question, I'll, you know, do what you do. What's the point of looking at? It's like going to your wife's purse. Going into your husband's wife? Why are you going? So that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's not that whether you can do it or not. It's like, why are you doing it?
Because you have okay. I'm going to tell you why as a person who was cheated on by their spouse.
Mm.
Okay, here's the thing: when a woman gets that gut feeling like something's not right, and they go off the deep end for looking for stuff, that's usually what provokes that behavior or wanting to do that is because they're sensing that something is not right. And I don't know why we have this innate need for confirmation of that, you know, by snooping. But that's
if you believe your sense is right, then just leave. You ain't got to check. If you believe it's right, you got to confirm it.
That's my point exactly.
Then you don't believe it. Then you're not sure. So you're looking for something. Well, that's fine. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, I just wondered, you know, is that what we do? Should you be doing that? I mean, it's not even about looking for anything. It's about why do you want to do that?
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not even saying that it's right or it's wrong. But so, yeah. Wow. Well, here's another thing on some relationship stuff that came up to mind talking to friends and other people. So, do you think that a relationship should have gone on for a long period of time and people haven't shown high levels of acknowledgement of each other's value in that relationship? So let's say we've talked 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever, and you sitting there talking to your homegirl or your homeboy and saying, Johnny, he ain't, whatever. Or Johnny talked to his homeboy saying, she ain't. She never did, whatever. Do you think that should be going on? You know, where you've been in a relationship for a long time and you can't really say that you've been acknowledged with some level of value, whether it be with verbal acknowledgments, whether it be with tokens or whether it be with whatever, trips, vehicles, whatever, something. If you feel like the only thing that we did was on the wedding day, where I, whatever the case may be, I gave you a ring or whatever, that was it.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Were you paying attention to the person who you were dealing with before you exchanged the vow? Because if this person wasn't giving you acknowledgments in the beginning, what makes you think because now you have become legally binded to them that, you know, you're going to get a different type or your importance or your value is going to be acknowledged?
Well, I don't know, but
I think people who behave in that fashion, they take that person for granted, and it's up to the person who's being taken for granted to stand up and say, you know what, I have value, and you need to acknowledge that, or we can't share space or time together anymore.
So guess what? So I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today. I was like, do you realize that we have been in relationships, all of us have probably been in more than one, and there's some people that we date or we get involved with that make us want to give them stuff, meaning we just want to give more. We just feel whatever that energy chemistry is, it makes us want to do more. And there are other people that we love them and we really care for them, but they didn't really evoke in us this desire to want to do extra, extra, extra. Now, I mean, it's not that we didn't do anything, but it's like we can point to other people that we just unbelievably just lavished with all kind of stuff, or we just went on our way to do stuff. And everybody, why do you think that's the case?
You know, I can't answer that question. I can't. But yeah, but what I will say is that the person who I wind up with is the person that I want to be knowing that I enjoy, like, going out of my way for. You know, that it's not a chore, that it's not, you know, it's not a hardship to do anything.
Right, so you don't even call it going out of your way.
Right. It's just natural because I feel that they're worthy of me expending that type of energy. So, you know, and on the flip side of that, I'm worthy of that. And if I'm not getting that, we not sharing space and time together. I'm not doing that. Ain't nobody got time for that. No.
Right. Well, I'm saying,
But see, it all comes down to knowing your own value and worth, and at a certain point saying that, because I know my value and worth, this is how people are going to have to treat me when we are in each other's space. And if I'm not going to be treated this way, then this person and I can't be in the same space.
Okay.
You have to put boundaries on situations and people.
Well, You got to revoke your access. That's fine. I'm just saying, I just think that it's kind of when people talk about my first love. And this, you know, I think that there are people that we meet that spark in us something that other people that we met didn't. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you believe that, though? That's what I'm asking. And I was saying that, but I'm asking at the same time, do you believe that?
Yes,
because
I do.
Because I can imagine an ex-wife somewhere saying, really? That's what he's doing? You know, that he never did that for me.
Exactly.
You know, all of these years, I was with him, and he gonna run out after her and do X, 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 X. And the first thing came to my mind was that she wasn't making it feel like that. And I don't mean so much you wasn't making him feel like you would. Like, I'm not even suggesting. It could be the case, though, but I'm not suggesting that. It was something you could have done to change that. I'm not even saying that. But you might have been able to because you don't know what she's doing.
But check this out. Even in reverse, like, for instance, a ex-husband that had a wife that fall to the depth, that cooks for him 3-4 times a day and, you know, was immaculate homemaker, in addition to being a financial contributor to the household. And then he winds up with some lazy chick that orders food out, or they go out to eat 5 to 6 times a week and doesn't clean the house. And, you know, it's just, I'm like, you know, someone could also do that in reverse.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's my point still is, though, that environment, and this is kind of getting ready to get off of some deeper thing, because it's just something that jumped in my mind, and was this. I'm driving on the expressway the other morning, and a man jumps in my way. And then he's, like, driving erratically and whatever. Now, prior to that, my state was pretty serene, and I'm just driving and paying attention. I'm trying to go home. But all of a sudden, my whole energy shifted when this man jumped in front of me and then was driving differently. And it brought to my mind that our environments clearly can be environments which encourage certain types of responses and behaviors. You see what I'm saying? Meaning that I did not have to holler at this guy, which I didn't anyway, but I could have. But my point was, if I did holler at him, I would have blamed it on what he was doing. And I would have said, basically, I should have hollered at him justifiably. And it was needed even. Well, here's the thing. That environment shifted and changed because prior to him doing that, it was different. It was clear. It was just me out there. It was early morning. I'm driving, and very few cars out there. Then he comes flying around, woo, 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 and it made me think. I said, well, back to even the conversation we just had about this, the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. The environment can have a big impact on how you react or respond. So some environments are environments that make you want to scream and holler and curse. Other environments are environments that encourage you to be a little more serene and calmer. Now, you could be in a serene and calm environment and holler and curse, or you could be in a very explosive environment and not curse. So that's by choice. But I'm saying if you give into the energy in the room, you can end up doing what the energy in the room is summoning for you to do. So if it's act a fool, and you can say, I'm going to act a fool, I'm going to give into it. So I was thinking about that. I said, well, do husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, really entertain the idea of what kind of energy they're bringing in a room that can have an effect on how their mate responds or reacts? Because if my mate responds or reacts in a crazy way, so to speak, it's still her responsibility for her behavior. Because, you know, we've always had this conversation about, you know, accountability of emotions and behaviors. But I will say you still could do something that if your husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend chooses not to control themselves, you're doing something that could be encouraging them to act in any number of ways. So are we considering our behaviors around our mates? You know, because I think that we need to think about that. Because, I mean, you know, they always talk about, and I can't think of an old saying that was used about, you know, killing them with kindness or whatever the case, things like that. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go. Various things. You know how it's like when I'm feeling a certain way, I ain't thinking about how I want to say it. And maybe I'm justified in what I am saying. But if my desire is to get, for instance, I want Bree to understand and even maybe even change some of her behavior would not have a better chance of doing it in a way which is palatable to her, as opposed to, you know, coming half cocked at her. And then I might be justified in my problem with her, but because of my delivery, I ain't getting ready to get it, and I probably pop off a whole other situation, you know, because she ain't hearing me, and I need her to hear me. I need her to hear me, you know. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about that, but I'm going to keep it moving. That's kind of, you know, what I was thinking. Here's something else, the Internet. So I'm thinking about the Internet, and my good friend Andrew Benjamin, Internet dating king, the man that, you know, 25,000 strong, you know, is, you know, again, that's phenomenal. What he has been able to do is phenomenal. However, it brought to mind something. What happens when we like being on the Internet? So we Internet date, we Internet interact, we meet the girl of our dreams. But we love the Internet. Meaning, we like the dating site. Not because we try to go on extra dates, because we just like interacting with the women. We want to keep interacting. We don't want to date the women, but we want to interact with the women, because it's fun now, because maybe we got addicted to the process. Not so much wanting to even meet somebody. Maybe from an ego gratification standpoint or any other number of things, like I'm, you know, keeping me occupied, I enjoy the interaction. So the question here is, do you think the Internet is having some type of adverse effect on our relationships, interpersonal relationships, as well as our, you know, personal relationships with someone, you know, a beloved. So that's something I'm wondering, because, I mean, I just thought about it. It could be kind of addicting to a man or a woman to get that attention. You know, and maybe they're not going, I'm saying, they're not going out. They're chatting, having these clandestine chats on a regular basis. And you end up like Andrew Benjamin. And Andrew Benjamin, he's
accumulated 25,000.
25,000 of them.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to have him back on the show because I'm going to ask him, was you addicted?
That's why he's taking a break.
You got to cleanse yourself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He had a detox. He had a detox. But do you think there are other people that might have a detox? You know, because I see doing rent, there were some people. I knew this one woman said she went on a 40-day fast on the Internet.
She said what?
She didn't get on the Internet. She went on a 40-day fast from the Internet.
Oh, that's what she gave up for Lent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, she gave up the lint out of her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she gave up. She gave up. And so I was like, wow, that's neat. You know, I guess, you know, hey. So think about it. How many times, whether we're on a train, plane, automobile, in an office building, our phone is in our face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how could that affect a relationship? I mean, you think that could affect your relationship?
Well, I have to say, when I'm in a relationship, I'm not on the Internet.
So when you're on the come on, quit. Not if I'm public, I'm involved with this, that, and the other. How do you avoid it?
No, when I say I'm not on the Internet, I mean specifically I'm not on, I don't have a profile on an internet dating site, is what I mean.
Okay, so but you know, that's just internet dating. You can meet people and interact with people on all kinds of
yes, of course. So if I meet someone, and if it's generic in conversation, okay. But when they start talking about, you know, maybe we could get together for dinner, or, you know, what do you like to do and stuff like that? Well, giving me the indication. They're telling me, well, I like you. I'm digging you. I think you're interested, and I want us to get to know one another better. Well, then that's the time for me to open up my mouth and say, well, thank you. I appreciate your interest, but I am involved with someone.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to tell them.
I'm sorry?
That's what you're going to tell them?
Yeah. I tell people that all the time now. I don't tell them in part that I'm involved with someone. I just say I'm not interested, but thank you.
Right. Well, I mean, you know.
I'm very busy right now. I got a lot of projects going on. I don't really have time.
Well, you know, that's again, like I said, I know the internet is a part of is kind of like cotton. The internet is like cotton. You know, remember the cotton commercial, the fabric of our lives.
Okay.
The internet is like the fabric of our lives now.
Right.
I mean, because our televisions have internet in it. Our refrigerators have internet in it. We don't talk about the phones. Internet. It's like we're in the net.
We're in the net.
We're in Charlotte's web.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Charlotte's web. And we're entangled in it. And sometimes it's like, what do we do without it? Because our phones, unless you're out there with Granny's phone right now, and her phone ain't even working like that too much because the networks are not even working with the technology that's in that, and them old phones probably no more. So everything is quote unquote smart now. And I don't know how smart it is, especially in the hand of a bunch of dummies. You have some problems with this internet, you know. And so that's why I was thinking. I was just thinking about this whole issue of internet dating. Not just internet dating, but internet interacting. And I started with the dating thing because I just think that people probably, because, I am so fascinated. I cannot wait to have Andrew Benjamin back on because 25,000 women, Lord have mercy. It makes me feel like, that's why I say it must be mobile, because I just know you couldn't be at no computer for that long. So I'm thinking, now, if you're mobile.
No comment.
If you are mobile, then I can see. Because, you know, most of these dating sites nowadays have mobile apps. So you ain't got to sit at the house all day and do that.
Uh-huh. Right. No comment.
You could.
Still no comment.
You know. Look, folks.
I can't do it.
We're barely on the air.
Yes. Yeah,
we're on the air. But we are on
here. We're out here. We don't care.
Yeah, we doing it. You know, we're like Rock Creek Park. You know what I'm saying? Doing it after dark. We doing it, y'all. It's real. It's beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But I just think about, you know, Andrew and these women, but not just Andrew, because, you know, it's a bunch of people on the internet all the time. And I talk to people. Think about how many times when you were internet dating, you would go to your inbox, and you couldn't count how many people hit you up. So I guess technically, if you think about what Andrew was saying, if you answered every one of those responses, even if you say, hi, thank you, I'm not interested. If you get
I could believe he had the time to do that. I could believe that.
I'm saying if you responded, Because women, but women I know, y'all get a lot of hits. The average woman that's just half decent, I don't even care how good, she's getting inboxed a lot.
Can I be honest? I'm not that polite, if you haven't noticed. I'm not doing all that, being cordial stuff, Thank you. I appreciate your response. No, I'm not doing that.
But here's what I'm saying. If you did do that over the last however long you've been on the internet,
be on the air right now. We wouldn't be on the air right now if I was sitting there doing that. We just wouldn't. Come on, real talk. We wouldn't be on the air right now. As I'd be busy.
You'd be busy.
Yes.
We would be busy. Folks out there in Blog Talk World land, on your phones and everything, we would be busy.
Bree
would
be
busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking Bree probably has somebody by now. I mean, you cannot tell me.
So here we go. So now we starting to drag me into this. I feel it coming.
You cannot tell me. That's the thing that gets me. I cannot imagine 20. I'm telling you, since that show, and I just wow, I just really want to drill down a little, as you always say, granular. I want to get so damn granular.
Let me tell you something. If it was me with 25,000 responses, I would really be busy. I'd be busy.
Well, I think would you found somebody by now?
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
I ain't no way
you go and do 25,000. Let's talk about 250 people. come on. And 250 people, you couldn't find one person to break bread with if nothing else? Come on.
Wait a minute. So 25,000, but at least, so let's say you should have more, because things don't always work out even when they feel like they are. But if you've had that many exposures, then you would think you would have to have some good chances. You know what I'm saying? Some good looks.
But okay, again, I did not want to get pulled into this conversation, but we're here. We're out here. We don't care. So I'm just going to say, remember who we're talking about. Okay? Just remember.
Well, I mean, I don't know Andrew, so I can't say that like this. I don't know him. I just know what he said. And as a matter of fact, I was looking at his, look, check this out. I'm looking at his page, and he got a picture of him and Maury at the Maury Povich show. I think he's going to be on that show with his book or something. I mean, seriously, I can show you. So my point is, he's talking about this. And I think that it's something that we need to talk about, too, all of us. I mean, what's going on? We're meeting people online, and we're not sticking and staying. We're moving around. So forget Andrew and his 25,000. Even if it's a couple hundred, or even if it's 50, because you've been on the internet for a long time. I was on the internet for a long time. Woo.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you were on the internet for a long time. Don't do that. Yeah. I'm just saying this from the standpoint that there is something to be said about the fact that I guarantee you this, we met more people online than we would have met in the street. If not, we couldn't have possibly met as many people in the street.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I need you to understand the dynamics of what was going on with me when I was doing a lot of internet dating. As I openly said, I did not initially start or develop a profile because I wanted to internet date. I wanted to entrap my ex-husband because I found out that he had a profile on a leading internet dating website. So that's how it started. And then after I left, a year and some change after I left him, and I was like, you know what, maybe I should start dating. And I know that I'm not really a lounge, club, bar type person anymore. I utilize that as a tool. And I almost became guilty of the thing that our dear friend Chris sitting behind the computer screen, you know, just the engaging with people that way. But I realized that that wasn't healthy, that I had to mix it up and go out into the world. And, you know, I think that those people that, like myself, who was heartbroken, you tend to get stuck in that place where you're scared to go out into the world. And I had to get over myself and just go do it. So, but yeah, I did the internet dating, and I've met some interesting people. I've met more people that I have wound up becoming friends with than anything. And then I've met a lot of Kukululu people, and I was like, wow, that's what's really going on. That's what's going on out here. I need to go out in the world.
I think I'm safer out in the world.
Yeah, this is what I said. I think I'm safer out in the world than I am on the internet. Because the Kukululu people,
man,
I was dating. Come on, please. Stop playing.
I dated. I thought, because when Andrew started talking about it started, you know, and of course, I got to be honest. I thought it was funny, hilarious. But it did give me pause. It made me think about what was I doing out there anyway. What did I do? Because my girlfriend, I met on the internet, but I was in a 5-year relationship with somebody that I met on the internet, and when we broke up, between that time and meeting my second girlfriend, I went back.
I think our audience wanted to just cheer the fact that Mark has a girlfriend. So I'm going to give the audience a chance to get out.
Well, thank you.
Mark has a girlfriend.
Yeah. So
that's so nice.
He's so nice. I'm booed up. So
you're booed up.
Yeah, I'm looking for where Alicia Keys at? Oh, her and Usher. Alicia Keys and Usher. Yeah, you don't remember the song?
Oh yeah.
Come on now. Y'all don't know. Hey, I would ask her. I don't want to put her on the spot because she's the karaoke queen. She can sing, y'all.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, stop. And some Jill Scott on your ass. That's Jill's sister from another mother.
Right. I love Jilly from Philly. But no, it's a good thing. Look. This technological world that we live in now enables us to have options, and we should exhaust all options in doing and seeking out our dreams and whatever it is that we want to do. If we want to start a business, if we want to find love, if we want to figure out how to go to the moon, we could do everything through technology now. So, and I would use technology for good and not evil. And absolutely, you know, there's nothing wrong with being online, internet dating and stuff, but there are some what I call serial internet daters, and there are some internet dating terrorists too. There's some terrorists.
Hey, I know. I got a new phrase I wanted to use. This is going back to what we were talking about the relationships mm-hmm. and the man, you know, the man that didn't, that wasn't treating his woman or giving his woman stuff. I started thinking about this. And, you know, we were talking about going into the phones. I came up with a new phrase. I'm coining it, and I'm going to develop the full definition. And by the next week's show, I'm going to introduce the definition for it. And it's called PTRD. It's a new diagnosis. I think I'm going to see if we can get it into the DSM-4. The DSM-4 is a diagnostic manual for psychology.
Right. Yeah.
Psychiatry. I think there is a new phrase we need, and I got a couple of the hallmarks of it. Like PTRD is post traumatic relationship disorder. So you can tell if a man is being, I'm gonna use a man first. If your man, I'm gonna say that, if you walk into a room, and I might do a Mark said it on that. You know, I do one of my little Mark said it in under 60 seconds on it. It's like, so you can tell if your man, if you're wondering if your man has PTRD, if when you walk in a room, he jumps right up, he's got PTRD. If he sleeps with one eye open, he has PTRD.
Yes.
Yeah, PTRD. The signs of PTRD is when he's fidgety at any little question you have, when you walk out the door and he's, you know, like something like that, you know, and even though I'm making a joke about it, it's not a joke because, you know, people talk about it all the time. You've heard it in songs and other things about how like, when R. Kelly made the song, One Man Can Make One Woman Hate All Men, that's like some PTRD stuff. It's like something that happened in those past things that keep giving you, so when your husband walks out the door and he don't come back for 5 hours, you think about that time when that man came back and 5 hours turned to six, and 6 hours turned to seven,
six
and he never came back. Mm-hmm. Right. So now you start, and he said, well, baby, I just got to call him traffic. You're like, oh, okay. You were having a PTRD moment. You were having a post-traumatic relationship disorder.
If you walk in the door and you hear clank behind you, your man has PTRD.
Yes. Watch out. Now we were talking about the symptoms. Then we have to talk about the how we're going to treat PTRD.
Well, first you have to
define what it is.
We got to define.
It's like, baby, everything going to be all right. I ain't going
nowhere. Or as Juan Pablo from The Bachelor says, it's okay.
It's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I'm a lover, and I would never do this to you. Yes, it's going to be all right, baby.
It's okay.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm coming home from work tonight. I'm coming home, baby. Yeah, really. I'm on faith. Soon as I get home from work, I'll make it up to you. Baby, I do what I got to do. Yes. So, yeah, but I just thought about PTRD. One of Mark said it. You know, we're going to develop this. We're going to talk about PTRD on future shows because, yeah. Post-traumatic relationship disorder.
I think that should be our next show.
That's a legitimate ish. I think that. We can relate to that, huh?
Yes, we can relate. I can relate.
Because when
I can relate, but I don't know
I'm saying I've never really.
No, but I'm wondering, did I ever have PTRD?
Well, think about this. PTRD is basically present anxieties that are based upon past things that happen in relationships.
Past traumas in relationships.
Yeah. Past traumas in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. PTRD.
See, my thing is, and you know, I have to pat myself on the back and applaud myself on this one behavior that I have. Thank God. Where is it? You know, I need some audience interaction. Could I please get a hand clap? Because when I have suffered at the hands of a traumatic breakup or circumstance in a relationship, I did not unleash myself on some unsuspecting fool that think he was going to come along and just, you know, get booed up with me. You know what I did? I checked out for a while because I knew that I had to work on me before I could allow myself to get involved with someone because I was suffering from PTRD.
PTRD.
Oh, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about PTRD next week.
Oh, we're going to talk about we're going to have a series. Yeah.
We're going to have a 5-part series on PTRD.
PTRD, the signs, the symptoms, and maybe even some of the cures for
and
PTRD.
Yeah, what? Yeah. I know one cure.
Uh-oh.
No means no.
Well, simple thing. One thing about
say
PTRD.
No.
PTRD is daddy. PTRD daddy is post-traumatic stress. And one thing we do know about any past event, we have to understand that we are here and that is not happening. That's a hard thing because that's one of the biggest treatments for PTSD is there is cognitive behavioral modification techniques that keep you in the now. It lets you, it's like, okay, when you start going through something, touch the sink is really here, this is really out. The other stuff is not really here. This is really here. So let's look at what is really here. So,
you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for a moment because maybe just for our listeners, I want to give them a snapshot. If they happen to watch the movie last year that won a lot of Academy Awards, Silver Linings Playbook. I love that movie.
Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Unbelievable movie.
Bradley Cooper, every time he heard My Sherry or More, he went off because it was
back.
The song that was playing when he walked into his house and watched his wife in the shower with a man giving him, you know.
So you know what? That would have been PTRD. That would really been PTRD.
That is the definition of PTRD.
That's PTRD. So now, to keep them in the nut, so the one treatment for PTSD besides medication, one of the biggest treatments is this whole treatment of the now. This is what, so now it's like, baby, I am coming home. I have come home. I am home.
Right.
So let's say somebody was fearing someone leaving. Again, because they came home one day and the house was cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So now, let's say one day you decide you want to surprise your mate by rearranging the furniture or something.
Oh, no, don't touch nothing.
And then,
don't touch nothing.
They come in the house,
Right.
But that's not what it was. So now I got to keep you.
Right.
No, baby. You know, and so the whole point is trusting that you can accurately be aware of what's going on in your environment, detaching from a past experience and understanding that it is not happening. It is not happening. Because any anxiety-based disorder is always based upon the perception that something is happening or something is going to happen based upon something that you're seeing. So it's inaccurately assessing the moment or over-exaggerating the events that are taking place. So the house is being rearranged. There are no chairs in the living room. That does not mean he left me. So that is like you have to do further investigation to see what's going on, as opposed to just having a knee-jerk reaction that's triggered by missing chairs that take you into a T tizzy because of something he did. That's the same thing we do when we do with trusting our mate. So you see your mate having a conversation or doing something else with someone else, and you say, wait a minute, that doesn't mean he's getting ready to go run off with the girl and he's getting ready to go to bed with her. But because the last time your ex-mate talked to someone, that's what they did. So now you have this correlation. It's almost one of the other PTRD things is all men are dogs. That's a PTRD moment. Well, we are, but not like you think. But anyway, you get to this place where you're saying, wow, this is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. This is what they're going to do. They all do that. They all do that. Now, the fact that all men are easily turned on by a woman does not mean he's going to acquiesce because he see a titty. So he may just see the titty and say, oh, that's a titty, and, you know, that's it. Because I like my wife or my girls, and I want to stick with her. But a woman says, yeah, it's just a – think about a woman that sits up somewhere and says, it's just a matter of time. I already know what he's going to do. I know it because they all do it. Well, she's in the grips of PTRD. She cannot let go of that old trauma. So it makes it almost impossible for her to have a healthy relationship going forward. Because she can't. And the poem is saying, yes, a man is stimulated from the outside, from views. He is stimulated from the way a woman looks, but he can control himself. And unless I have a reason to know that he hasn't controlled himself, he's got the benefit of the doubt. That's healthy. That's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what a lot of people do, which is, no, I know what he's doing. I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. And one thing is, the emotional makeup of a woman does make her highly, because you're right what you said earlier about that instinct. You all do have an unbelievable instinctive ability to know stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if a person has had post-traumatic relationship disorder, it may be totally off kilter now. She don't know what to believe. It's like being on the beach with one of those metal detectors, and it's going all over the place. It's just ticking, 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 ticking. It's got false positives and everything. Because she's off kilter. She never got readjusted and said, you know what? Johnny was effed up. Johnny was effed up. But I'm meeting Frank, and I don't know Frank. Yes, he's a man. I understand he has the same plumbing. He has the same attributes. But he is not Frank.
Right.
He is not. So I'm going to go with my emotions and my feelings about connecting with him. And I'm going to be aware of what I see. I'm not going to be in denial if I see something. But at the same time, I'm like, it may put him in that box. And we go with the flow. Especially if there's some chemistry there. Because to me, as the Spanish say, la química. La química, the chemistry. That's the most
mm-hmm.
important thing.
That's right.
The most important thing.
T-R-D.
You know?
Yeah, we're going to work on this PTRD thing. I saw a friend of mine in Pathmark, which I don't know if you have them down there in Houston. It's a supermarket here in New York.
No,
and,
we don't.
And he's one of two of my friends that I grew up with in Crown Heights. And I was like, oh, here's the Facebook terrorist. Because I saw him today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, here's the Facebook terrorist, because everything that he posts has got something to do with something negative about a woman. And I'm like, what is going on with you? And he was like, oh, that's just the way I feel. I'm like, okay, a disciple of the Benjamins.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
I'm telling you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's got PTRD.
But, you know, but here's the thing. So we got to work on that, y'all. We got to work on that. I mean, women and men, and again, there's some things, there's some really key things that we got to look at, you know, as far as how we show, you know, I always talk about PCA, you know. And my thing is that that's what we got to work on. The bottom line is that if we have very good open conversations at the beginning, then we kind of know about our partner's past, some of our past traumas. And understanding that, we work with them along those lines. Now, we don't become a enabler and just explain away everything to that. Because if they're acting outside of themselves because of that, then you have to be honest and say, wait a minute, baby, that ain't me. But at the same time, you understand some of their triggers. Now, I'm not suggesting people go and become a psychologist for their mate. But I am saying be aware. But at the same time, though, I am saying, come on, if you've got chemistry and connection with the person, then you owe it to yourself, in my mind, to take in some level of consideration by letting them know, hey, I understand your past traumas. I know how old dude, you know, effed over you. I understand that. But I like going bowling, and I understand your last situation happened at the bowling alley. And you can come with me to the bowling alley or whatever, but I am going bowling. I'm not stopping bowling because of that, but I've got your back, baby. As opposed to saying, like some people say, man, I ain't worried about that. Whatever, I'm going bowling. That's a different attitude. Because
that's
not taking into consideration.
Attitude.
Right. Well, but a lot of people do that, though. They do that. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be aware, I think, I would say. I mean, I would. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, come on. I am not old boy. Or if it's all the way around, I am not old girl. Who messed over you, dude? Yeah, I know it. Every time, I already know. Like you have PTRD. Your woman puts on some red shoes. She puts on some red shoes and go out. And all you can remember is that last time your girl left with red shoes. She came back without her panties on.
Uh-uh.
And you like, that's it. So now you want your new girl to get all the red shoes. And she's like, babe, wait a minute. I understand what happened. That's messed up. I know we talking. You told me about the red shoe situation, but I like red shoes. But I love you. So when I put these red shoes on, my love for you is what you need to be focusing on, not the color of them damn shoes.
Right.
But that's my point. My point is what you have to do. But there's got to be the willingness to talk about it as opposed to, you know, because we go in with these deal breakers that sometimes, like, wait a minute, first of all, before you go into deal breaker, do you connect with old boy or old girl? Are y'all like really connected? Because if you ain't really connected to them, then we ain't got to talk about deal breakers any damn way.
Right.
But if you really connected to them, if not chemical, is really on point, then all these deal breakers that you have, they need to be vetted and looked at. In the scheme of, I'm connected to old boy. And where did I come up with a lot of this stuff anyway? Because of some old stuff that went down. Is it about time to go ahead and cook this sacred cow of yours? Put it on the barbecue pit and burn it up. Maybe not. Because remember, most of the time, our deal breaker list is about protection anyway. It's about trying to make sure we are not caught up in a situation again. So it's understandable for humans and our other animals to want to protect themselves. But PTRD is when there's no reasonable suggestion that you're in a situation that you need to be protecting yourself. So what if you didn't know that you weren't supposed to protect yourself right now? That everything would be like at a 10. You know how people always, you know, a lot of psychologists work do when they're doing their work, they usually say from 1 to 10, 10 being the most, you know, the most highly, you know, agitated state or highly anxious state to 0, to 1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What is this environment right in that? Why are you feeling at 10? You need to look at that. Work with yourself through that. Again, and if both of us got that unbelievable chemistry, we can work it out. We can work it out. But it's got to be chemistry. I'm not going to go through all of this with somebody I'm trying to feel like I'm connected to. I ain't going to do all of that. But if I believe that I'm feeling like I'm feeling like I'm feeling, then we can work it out. I'm not going to just walk away on some, you know, we don't agree on this. You know, because a lot of times we'll put out there, this is it. Like, okay, you could do that. But are you willing to sacrifice something meaningful for this is it? If this is it really don't apply here, are you willing to look at that? Now, look, you know, and I remember I used to work with homeless youth and a lot of young ladies that were abused. And we would always say, for instance, like if a man raises his voice at you, move on. Because you have been abused, and especially these women that have been serial abused, they don't have good judgment. So therefore, we would talk to them about cues. If you see certain things, just move real quick. Because other women may be able to see through stuff and see, well, it's just a circumstance that just happened right now. But you all have proven that you all don't know how to leave. So what we're going to do in training you to start you to get back to a healthy state, when a man raises his voice, run. Now, guess what? Mark talks loud. So when Mark comes in, he's loud talking, you interpret that as hollering. Well, for a woman that doesn't have a skill set, leave. So you cannot take the chance to figure out whether I'm hollering or I'm just a loud talker, because you've made too many bad decisions that have cost you physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So your skill set is not developed. But if you have that skill set, come on, are you willing to, you going to just throw this away on the fact that he was loud as opposed to baby? Can you bring your voice down a little bit? Now, if you say, hell no. All right, then. You got a whole different problem. You got a different problem. But, again, that's back to being understanding, healthy, understanding what's going on with yourself, understanding your environment. So that's what it's about to me. So these are the things that I am suggesting people do to work with that PTRD, which we're going to talk about in the future. You know, I'm Dr. Mark Sennett. See, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo gave me the courage. I'm going to call myself Dr. Mark Sennett when I put my doctor hat on. Because I think I got enough experience, enough interactions, and enough insight to be able to share certain things with people. And, you know, that can help them out. Again, I will always tell people, if you do not have the ability to distinguish between something that's unbelievable dangerous or not, and your instinct says it's dangerous, run. Run. It's like they say, when you call a certain hotline, they say, if this is truly an emergency, call 911.
Exactly.
But if you know that it's not, and this is a little incident, and we can sit down and process it, well, let's look at it. Let's go down step by step and look at it and see and deconstruct the moment and see what this really was. But if you have any doubt that it's some 911 stuff, you don't just move. Move. Because we're not giving that kind of advice. We're not suggesting anybody stay in any abusive situation. But you also got to understand when most of the abuse is coming from your emotions, not from them. You're abusing yourself right now because you're creating an environment that is not what the environment is. You got to know that, though. But again, people who have had PTSD, the various types of training and the various types of therapy are based upon the now. That's one of the biggest tools that they use. We have to say what is going on right now for real. So now we look at what we're feeling versus what really is going on. So if you thought for instance, if you thought that it was a gunshot, and we're going to show you the car backfired. So then you know, okay, that's not a gunshot, Johnny. Because when we first started talking about PTSD, it came, Vietnam War was one of the biggest places where people started really recognizing the disorder. In the earliest versions of the DSM-4, it was when people were coming back and they were having all of these episodes with guys that were tripping. Like they hear a gunshot, they hear some hollering, they hear a baby crying, various things like that. They were triggering them. And people didn't know what was going on. I remember they were talking about this one, you know, I just know about one case because I know many of them happened, but it was this one gentleman in Virginia. This was back in the 70s, I remember, when he was in his underwear with his gun because somebody had set off some firecrackers. And he came out with his rifle because he thought he was experiencing the same situation that had happened over in Cambodia. You see? So that can be crazy. When I'm talking about PTSD, though, I ain't quite seeing it to that extent, although you know, some folks can do some really crazy stuff. It's like that movie, remember that movie with Martin Lawrence and, what was her name? Is it A Thin Line, I think?
Who? Yeah.
With Martin Lawrence. she was burning, she was burning my man, she will kill him. You know, because she was experiencing some other things. So she was having some psychotic breaks, though, which,
oof.
You know
yeah.
which, yeah, exactly. You know, that was kind of some other. It was that other stuff. But yeah, PTRD and some PCA with some TLC, we can be okay.
it's okay.
we just acronymed it out tonight.
Right.
PCRD, PCA, TLC, and okay.
TLC, and okay.
And okay. That's right. That's what we did. Those are, you know, remember, Sesame Street, and today's episode was brought to you by the letter. Yeah, you know that one of them kind of things, them kind of situations.
Right.
So yeah. You know, I like I said, you know, freestyling ain't nothing wrong with freestyle because, you know, people like us, we got stuff to freestyle about. You know, I wish we could have got somebody to call in. I wanted somebody to tell me about the weed though, man. The weed man and the preacher and the weed man.
We'll get him on the show next week. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. He's gonna be very. I just want to warn the audience. He's gonna be very laid back, and he's gonna probably be talking slow. So just
go,
be
baby.
Patient, because he's weeded up.
Oh yeah, hey man, I understand that. Well, you know, the new weed is different weed though, because the new weed got hell of levels of THC. Which make you not laid back. See, the old weed that was coming up in my day, the level of THC wasn't as high. So THC is that ingredient. Is that ingredient? Because you got CBC and THC, CB something. But that's the CB whatever it is the element that calms you. The THC level. Is the levels that have more of a psychotic effect. And the stuff that we used to smoke didn't have high levels of that stuff. This new stuff these kids are smoking, Woo, baby. They it ain't like this cool laid back dollar stuff that we used to have. It's that blast off stuff. So some of that old stuff that we used to smoke, man, well, I say I did because I did in the past. You know, I wasn't no head. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those recreational, occasional, on a weekend type situation type dudes because I was paranoid about weed because, see, for me, I didn't know. One thing about weed is it wasn't regulated at the time, so it wasn't like you knew what strain you was getting. You go to your weed man and whoever he was copping from, that's what you was going to get. So a lot of times it wasn't always a lot of consistency with what you were smoking. You know, sometimes you get what we used to call stress. Stress was stuff that give you a headache. You know, it wasn't that we used to call fire. You know. Now they got a whole bunch of other stuff names for it. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, I laughed at that one show, that one stand-up show that Cat Williams did. He was talking about Snoop Dogg and he was having a killer and all kind of other stuff. You don't want that.
I missed that. You
don't want to say killer. You don't want to smoke that that got the name killer in it. You know what I'm saying? You know, that and chronic, that's not like a condition. You know, who the hell want, you know what I'm saying? But hey, that's what the kids are smoking. You know, they're smoking all that, yeah. So I would love the weed guy to come on because I love to hear what he had to say. It'd be really cool, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I was going to tell you folks, you know, my sister Bree was trying not to have a show tonight. She was like, man.
Oh,
why
you put me on Front Street? Like
I
that.
Am. I'm she was like, we got to set this for another day. Dude, I've been, because see, what y'all don't know about Bree is an unbelievable businesswoman that's got things popping off all over the place. She makes jewelry. What's the name for a person that makes jewelry?
A jewelry designer.
Okay. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to say you're a jeweler.
a jeweler and a jewelry designer is two different things.
Yeah, the jeweler sells jewelry, right?
Well, the jeweler sells jewelry is a connoisseur of jewels, of precious gems. That's what they do. That's not what I do.
Right, okay. That's not what you do. Oh, yeah, by the way, people, Earth and water. Earth and water. That's the jewelry line that our sister has designed. And she got some clients. Matter of fact, the person that was supposed to be on the show tonight is a client, and they're going to be on next week now?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so she's making the moves and she's doing things, you know what I mean? And people who are Facebook friends of hers have had a chance to see her some of her jewelry because she has some nice pieces that she shows. And she sells. So if you're interested in getting some of that earth and that water, what they need to do to get the earth and the water?
They can always follow me on Facebook at Earth and Water Jewelry. Or Twitter at Earth and Water Jewelry. I'm sorry, at Earth and Water Jewel. Or at Instagram, on Instagram at Earth and Water Jewelry. Just Google Earth and Water Jewelry and you'll find me some kind of way.
So, come on, you know, why Earth and Water?
Well, I'm a water sign. I'm a Cancerian. And I know that the earth was made up of more than three quarters or a little more of water. And earth is essential to life. That's why I named the show Bree Life, because life stems from air and earth and water. Also, one of my favorite movies, which is The 300, one of the coin phrases at the beginning of the movie when the Persian messengers came to Sparta, he said to Leonidas, I offer you earth and water. And right then and there, I said, this is a sign. That's the name. That's going to be the name of my jewelry line, Earth and Water Jewelry. So that's how I came up with the name. And because I use more, I opposed to precious gems, I use more earth, rocks, and stones, and things of that nature, and metals, copper.
What about wood?
Silver.
You use wood?
Yes, I also work with wood. I solder. I do a lot of stuff with the jewelry. So,
man, you know,
I work with natural hide.
I'm still waiting for my uncle. But
I actually forgot about that. I apologize, Mark. But I'm gonna find you the perfect uncle and perfect leather to wear that. And I'm gonna sign it. Because Earth and Water Jewelry, as you said, is beginning to take off. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored for all the opportunities that are coming my way. You know, both not just with the jewelry designing, but the styling. You know, there's a newscaster that I'm going to be styling on the network news really soon, and Earth and Water Jewelry, you're going to see a lot of that on television. I'm going to be in an 8-page spread in Ebony Magazine in association with the organization that I'm specifically designing the bracelet for, which is Saving Our Daughters. The executive director of the association, Curtis Benjamin, along with Chrisette Michelle's manager, will be on the show, I believe, next week, talking about the organization and the position here in New York that I've been so honored to be afforded, and also the fact that I have been commissioned by Saving Our Daughters to design the official bracelet. So it's a huge honor for Earth and Water Jewelry and myself. You know, this is a hobby that I started because I was at home, laid off, not working, in need of something to do. And I chose working with my hands and creating and designing something as a hobby, and it has now turned into a business. And that's God. So I thank my creator, and I thank everyone that is purchasing bracelets and any other type of jewelry that I design for the organization. So, yeah, I'm real happy about that. And trust me, Bree Life Radio, the Bree Life Radio Network, is sponsored heavily by Earth and Water Jewelry. And now, again, our new sponsor, which is coming aboard, which is Saving Our Daughters. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, I mean, where are the applause at?
I'm sorry?
Where are the people? Where's the applause? Where's the people?
Well, the people are out there.
Well, I don't hear
people
them, but I want to hear the people. Can I hear the people?
You want to hear the people?
Please?
Okay.
I want to hear the people.
Sure.
Thank you for the people, man.
Thank
we need
thank
the people.
You to the people. Yes,
indeed. We need the people. The people are important for the movement. Need the people. Without the people, we have no movement.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So yeah, you know, so, yeah, this has been one of them great, great, great shows, man. I mean, it was way, way better than you thought. But see, you got the Freestyle King here. The Freestyle King. I mean, you know, we got the Online Dating King. We got the Doctor of Love, and then we got the Freestyle King. The Freestyle King, you know, we could just freestyle it, you know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, like I said, the lot of things that were going on in the news that they just kind of were catching my eye. And when I say news, I include the news being my Facebook feed, because my Facebook feed, all the friends I got, boy, they talk about some stuff. And I just kind of like, it just kind of amazes me that we have what I call micro blogging is off the chain at this point. And, you know, that's what Facebook is, Twitter is. Those are forms of microblogging, where people, as opposed to getting a blog page per se, they put down their little feelings about everything, all kind of stuff on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so,
and there are some people that just emote all over Facebook.
Oh, for sure, you know. And then we got our positive thinking people. You know those people who they find every little post they can, they find somewhere, and they put up all kind of little pictures, you know. Oh, yeah, you know. Name it, claim it, and blame it, or something, whatever, you know. You know.
But it
was, nonstop, incessant. I mean, incessant posts. I guarantee you, I can pick my phone up right now, and I hear something. I can look at something. Like this one. Somebody, I'm looking at the phone right now, it says, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Just remember, prayer changes things. Now, it's not even a prayer.
Prayer, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not, check this out. Now, D, I ain't disagreeing with that or whatever, but it's just amazing that all that these people, I can read another post from the same person. And they ain't talking about prayer changing nothing. They are not talking about prayer changing anything. But that's okay, because this is their microblog, which I have to some degree subscribed to because they're my friend and I have allowed them to be on my timeline. Therefore, I have signed up for their microblogging, and I got a chance to hear their words of wisdom. Prayer changes things. But I've also got a chance to see this other stuff that they be talking about, which is not about prayer changing things. It's about some oops upside your head stuff. So, you know, and so I know that. And then, you know, my mother is unbelievable. She just, Lord have mercy. You know, she shared your mama's name.
And, yes.
And Shirley.
Them Shirley's.
Shirley Ann.
Shirley Ann, both of them, Shirley Ann.
Both of them. How can you believe that? Both of our moms. Shirley Ann loved to put pictures and just always saying some stuff. But she put I'm a grandfather now. And I got to say, I got this cutest little granddaughter. She is just Adriana Joy. I call her AJ. Little AJ is just, she's cute as she could be. But my mom just, and my niece just had a baby about a, about a month later. Actually, it was almost exactly a month later. So she's putting both of them up there and posting. I'm like, Lord have mercy. They're just posting all these pictures. But she's just the cutest little thing. You know, little Miss Adriana Joy. That's my little Joy. And so I sometimes repost her pictures and stuff. But, yeah, I look at this Facebook thing, man. I can just sit here and do a whole show just on what people are posting, like the Facebook show. Like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take an hour out to just talk about what's on my feed. And, like, for instance, sometimes there are things in life that aren't meant to stay. Sometimes change may not be what we want. Sometimes change is what we need. All my philosophers. Next one. Why are you in self-check out with 40 items in the grocery store and you have no clue how to use self-checkout?
That
was my friend. My friend Greg said, he said, what the hell? 40 items. And I don't even lie. I don't get that. Self-checkout with 40 items. See, I thought self-checkout was supposed to be like for quick.
Well, if it doesn't specify, a person is going to go there. You know, if it says self-checkout 10 items or less, then that's what you should be doing. But if it doesn't specify, hell yeah. Why stand on the long line when you can self-checkout?
So, in our last 10 minutes, I'm going to keep doing my Facebook thing. So here's another one. Oh, sweet baby Jesus, please, please let the 6 to 8 inches of snow pass us by.
Yes, thank you. I think he heard you.
That's my friend in Chicago. That my friend in Chicago is sitting up here concerned about snow.
Yes,
coming.
We were concerned about it, too. We still concerned about it. We supposed to get some tomorrow.
Well, if it's coming from Chicago, hey.
Oh, gosh. It was 60 degrees here today. I should report that.
Yeah, it was 70-something here, so, you know, tomorrow is going to be, tomorrow they say it's going to be 60, but we're going to have 25-mile-an-hour wind, so, I mean, it ain't going to feel like it's 60. So here's my other friend. He says, think like a human, act like an animal.
I don't know. It's okay.
And then my other brother says, from here down in Houston, he says, you are in control of your thoughts and actions. So you are responsible for what you do with your life. Never
blame. Be responsible for yourself, and I'm going to be responsible for myself.
Your emotions. Your emotions.
Yeah.
Never blame anyone
but
for your mistakes. Learn from
them. That's how you used to end it up, though.
Okay.
You used to be like, I'm
going to
be responsible for myself, and you're going to be responsible for yourself.
Thank you, sister. Oh, and and here's my other guy. My other guy said, I told you my book was good. Now that the book is out, the reviews are coming in.
Oh, gosh.
I ain't going to tell you who that was. Anyway.
I know who that is. They're moving right along. Mr. 25.
Yes, indeed. 25 to life. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, 25
of
life.
Wow. It's crazy, man. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
you know,
but I want to know who's reviewing. Who the hell is reviewing the book?
Well, you can review it.
Oh, no.
Look, there's no reason to look back when you have so much to look forward to. That's another one.
I love
my people. They're just so ooey gooey and chewy today. They're just saying all kind of great little things, you know. Then somebody else said, sometimes you have to look back and see how far you have come as motivation instead of focusing on how far you have to go. See, these people don't know each other. I'm loving them, man. I'm just loving the people today. It's a beautiful thing, you know. But I will say this, Bree, because, you know, we're coming to the close of this show. It's been a blast, man. It was a blast. I love doing it, you know. And today the level of preparation was not on 10. But the energy and the fun surpassed 10. So I can't be mad how things worked out. Actually, they worked out pretty good.
Pretty good.
So that's what I have to say. Thank you, Bree, again for this show.
And I want to thank our listeners, because what we do in love, and we do it with fun in mind and being able to offer some information. And, again, we're going to discuss next week what this PTRD is all about.
Yes,
and
PTRD.
Yes, in our second hour, we'll probably have maybe someone from the sociological or the psychological community that might be able to offer us some insight.
Or me.
Or you, absolutely.
Or me. Dr. Mark said it.
With his mumbo jumbo.
And my Mumbo Jumbo. Actually, I might even have Dr. Mumbo Jumbo come on, because he's really good with all that. He knows a lot about that, so.
Has he suffered from PTRD?
Really good. I don't think he did. He didn't do that. But he studied it.
Okay.
Yeah, he went into the jungle.
He went into the jungle, okay.
He went into the jungle, yeah. He's been in the jungle.
And he's been thinking like an animal, but acting like a human.
No, that wasn't him.
Has he been doing that? That wasn't him? Okay.
That was the other brother, my friend in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He said that he's an interesting brother too. He's a teacher and musician, and he said yes that we should think like a human and like an animal. But I thought humans were animals, so it's kind of like almost like
right, exactly.
Oxymoron, but it's okay. But hey, look, this is his platform. And I'm kind of like a voyeur because I'm sitting up here reading it. Let's see what they're doing. Anyway, folks, this is concluding another session of Breathe Life Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you again for tuning in. And join us next week when PTRD is going to be the topic, along with some special guests that we hope to have. So, hey, inhale.
Peace and blessings. And breathe life.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian, in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the next to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live.